thank you so much for what you're doing. Many people refer to you as the Alex Jones of New Zealand because you're running around there with that megaphone.
Well, I don't like the whole Alex Jones comparison.
I don't need
Well, I know people say that, and well, people who say that don't listen to my show on a regular basis. All right, let me see if I can really see if I can categorize exactly why I'm sick of that comparison. Well, as if exposing scumbaggery on the radio and video makes me some kind of a clone. You know, it's a pretty big internet. But to understand the difference between the style of my show and the style of Alex Jones show, just to ask yourself these simple questions. When was the last time I made you feel afraid of something that hasn't happened yet? Said that I have the documents, did an emergency broadcast, or interrupted a radio broadcast with ads to advertise my products to you, or talked over my guests for 90% of the time they're on air with me, or reiterated the same point dozens of times in a row, or make broadcasts to wake people up, right? The main difference between the Alex Jones Show and the Vinnie Eastwood Show is that I'm listener-supported, commercial-free, New Zealand-based. I interview traumatized people who've never been on radio or told their stories before. We've got no taboo topics. There's plenty of fun and laughter. I'm always honest, and I've got no credibility, so I can't lose any. I'm proudly unprofessional, no fear-mongering. I don't take myself too seriously. I don't try to wake people up. Just help those who are already awake cope with the fact that being awake is incredibly stressful and painful. And I provide counseling for truthers who are in a state of grief and fear, and I'm emotionally open to guests' pain, and I take a break from broadcasting several times a year to emotionally recuperate. Now, I admit that Alex Jones was a large part of my initial inspiration for starting what I'm doing, and I admit for the first year or two, I tried kind of acting like him. But after a few years doing this all by myself, never having any support or even replies of any kind from anyone at InfoWars, I kind of had to find my own voice. I found my own style and I found my own audience. So if we could quit with the comparisons, that'd be nice because there kind of aren't any.
I absolutely agree with you, Vinny, and you certainly have done a very good job of creating your own style and your own style of broadcasting. And, you know, I really find it very cool, and actually it's heartwarming that you help truthers and people who have just started to wake up to the mass deception and the manipulation in the world, because it really is a terrifying process. You know, when I first woke up, you know, it was about 5 or 6 years after 9/11, and I've said this before, I'm actually embarrassed to say that. I should have picked up on it right away, but I was so embedded in this brainwashing, in this garbage, that I just bought everything hook, line, and sinker. I looked like a big mouth bass on a hook. And it was a terrifying process. I went through a lot, and I think it's really cool that you do help people who are going through that stress and anxiety.
Well, I mean, name me one show that sits there and helps people with their stress and anxiety and doesn't try to freak them out for the clicks. You know, it's just that kind of thing. It's because I'm not the most popular show or anything, I'm very, very widely well known, but I don't use all those marketing tactics of, you know, keeping the videos to a minute or so and that kind of thing. Because I believe my first discovery when I started going out with the megaphone and the camera is that when you speak to those people at the protests who are holding the other megaphones and the microphones, who are the speakers, etc., and you ask them a question, you find that the answers that they give you are lengthy, right? Because nobody goes out and bees an activist or goes to a protest and as actually a leader of said protest if they have done no research and don't know what they're talking about, that kind of thing. So I found that it's actually important to differentiate news gathering as it currently stands, which is that quick, fear-based format, which you forget right after you listen to it anyway. And I prefer the long-form, couple of hours interview with somebody. That way they get to tell their full story and we get to have a complete range of emotions. And I'm often getting comments that the interviews are so good that listeners want to listen to them twice, three times, you know, that kind of thing. And it's because I'm unique in the radio circuit. Let's just say I'm a narcissist with too much empathy.
Well, I've often said myself, I'm actually I'm an arrogant bastard with a self-esteem complex, and I don't know how I got into radio, but I have to mention that you know, Truth Frequency Radio is all about, you know, your protection from deception without the fear and the hype. That's our motto here. So I totally agree with your format and what you're doing there. And while Alex Jones, for me, too, was inspirational in my waking, I have come to realize that, you know, I don't know if he's controlled opposition. I don't know really what's going on there, but it does get to be a little bit irritating. You know, you mentioned something about emotionally recuperate, and Vinny, I started listening to your show, and you were an inspiration for me to start doing radio, which I never thought I would ever do. But here I am. But I tell you, I've been doing it now for a year, constant, twice a week. And, you know, it does come to a time when I have to emotionally recuperate. I got to step away from this because, boy, it can be depressing and it can cause a lot of anxiety.
Well, I got the idea when I watched a documentary that included a section about France and its employment policy towards grief counselors. Because when you're a grief counselor, you sit there and unless you are a psychopath, you absorb negative energy from people. And in the truth movement, we're talking about people who have been sexually abused, who have been in mind control programs, who have had their homes, their possessions, their families taken away from them, in some cases killed. And unless you're a heartless piece of shit, you're unable to continue to do that permanently without going a little bit crazy. And sometimes I'm taking 2 months off at a stretch. Sometimes I'll just take like a month off or something. My body gives me a warning sign. It starts to go a little bit nuts when I'm not feeling very well as a result of taking on people's emotional baggage. But that makes it very difficult because if you're making money off of broadcasting your radio show and you stop your radio show just so that you can continue doing your radio show and come back, it threatens your income and that kind of thing. So it's a real interesting balancing act. But the one thing that really has separated me from, I think, possibly all the other forms of truth movement interaction at the moment is I'm 100% listener supported in a passive way. That means I've got several hundred people all around the world who always donate to me every week, every month, that kind of thing, regardless of whether or not I do the work or not. Now, what that does is it gives me what most people may never have, free time, right? Most people have to earn their money and they have to go out and they have to leave the house, etc., etc. I don't. Now, that means when I need to have a day off to recuperate, I can have it. I can have months off if I need it. If I need 10 grand for a new computer and a couple of other bits and bobs, I can raise that in a couple of months. Every single thing that I've ever needed or ever really wanted that I have asked for from my audience, I have been given. Every single thing, every single time, at exactly the amount that I need it, exactly when I need it. Now, that to me, because I'm a narcissistic, self-obsessed piece of shit, it gives me the impression that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? That there's some kind of divine will. If you do the right thing, if you are following the right path, there will be certain markers along that path to tell you and show you that you're not being an idiot, you're actually doing the right thing, and the universe helps you along.
Absolutely agreed. You know, when I first, somebody offered me, they said, why don't you do your own radio show? Because I was deep in research and I had a lot of knowledge and I was sharing it on social media. Someone says, why don't you do your own show? And I'm like, I could never do that. So I go to the website that offered me the slot, and there was a quote there by Russell Brand, of all people, that said, if you are offered an amazing opportunity and you don't not sure if you know how to do it or not sure if you can do it, say yes and learn how to do it later. Thus, that's where I ended up doing radio. And I mean, absolutely, I'm here by some other divine intervention. Something happened and put this in my path because people keep telling me, keep doing what you're doing. I'm a neophyte. But people say, man, you're a great interview. And you know, I'm just rolling along with it. It seems to me that this is my path.
I was very lucky that I had people, specific people that helped me, like my my former producer, Mitch, who got me off the ground, bought my website for me, trained me in the radio game, and he was mentored by the guy who mentored Bobby Darin from the Beach Boys, you know, and it's like my network owner was Alex Jones's former producer, the co-host that I first came on. Used to actually be a mentor to Alex Jones, and I was like, whoa, all the things seem to be coming into line here. And it seems to me that if you give up what it is other people tell you that you should be doing in your life, if you give up your childish dreams, if you give up on hope in and of itself, something will come in to replace it, but you have to make sure that you're willing to go without pay, sometimes without food, a lot of times without sleep, and many times without any words of encouragement in order to achieve what you want to achieve for humanity. That is the kind of sacrifice you have to be willing to make.
Most certainly. You know, I got to Truth Frequency Radio, and one of the things that really drew me to TFR was the fact that they are entirely listener supported. And yeah, I've been doing radio for a year. I haven't made a lot of money doing it, but I'm doing it. And I often say this, Vinny, is that my whole objective here is to raise the awareness and consciousness of humanity so that they can no longer be deceived, manipulated, and controlled by these wacko psychopaths who are in charge.
Yeah, that would be nice. Having been screwed over by psychopaths in charge several times, you know, like the first time was a psychopathic cop who lied to the judge and made up evidence against me. Luckily, the lawyer got rid of that stuff, but I can't travel outside of New Zealand because of the cannabis laws, which were passed by psychopaths, you know. I got a couple of jobs working for psychos, doing sales and stuff like that. And one time the boss of my boss came in to ask me how to run the company a little bit better. And I told him, honestly, what I thought should be done. And my boss got wind of what I'd been saying and reprimanded me and got real angry that I went above his head, even though his boss had actually asked me. So that job didn't work out very well. I once wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the other company that I was working for and how to improve staff retention and numbers and so on and so forth. So they fired me and gave me 6 weeks pay to leave within the next 5 minutes because I knew how to run the company better than the boss did. and then I had to get another sales job where I was literally paying these guys to work because they were keeping about 90% of the sales money that Vodafone was giving them for themselves and not paying their salespeople more than 10% of the value of the contracts we were getting people to sign. And then I went for another psychopath. You see, the sales world is full of psychos.
Oh, right? Most definitely.
Oh, dude, it's just the worst. And I'm lucky I came out of it without becoming one of them. And indeed, it was telesales, calling people up. What do you call it? Telemarketing?
Yeah.
So I had a strike rate of 50%. So for every second person that picked up that phone, I was able to sell them, right? This is somebody who they don't know calling from a company that they've never heard of and being able to convince them within a time frame of 30 seconds to not only listen to them, but to agree with them and buy what they're selling. The average is 1 in 16, okay? Mm-hmm. That's how fucking good I was, right? And the thing about this is I believe that those experience with psychopaths, those experience with selling things and getting to the point very quickly, getting people to listen to you, making what you're saying compelling, getting people to trust you very quickly without having to actually lie and deceive them, was probably the best training I could ever really have hoped for talk radio. So those of you out there, if you're budding talk radio show hosts, go and do telemarketing, all right, for a bit, right? Then you'll see how you can retain an audience, because if you can retain an audience while that audience is having dinner, doesn't want to listen to you, then you'll probably go reasonably far.
You know, I was in sales for a long time. In fact, I was in the car business. And I did a whole bunch of other sales. I've been there, done the telemarketing thing. I was in an inbound call center as well. The hardest thing I ever did, Vinny, was try cold calling, door knocking. And I was working for an internet company out of California. And you literally have about 30 seconds to tell them who you are, what you're selling, why they want it, and let you in the door so you can give them a demonstration before they slam your door. And I found really that people that were really good at it were essentially extremely good looking people. My ugly mug, I just could never do it.
Yeah, if you're real good looking and that kind of thing, that's why telemarketing is really great, because you don't have to be. You just have to sound really nice and speak with a smile.
Absolutely. You know, one of the kind of segue here into the psychopaths and even in the radio biz. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is we have a character running around the United States. And he's been involved some of the Oregon Burns issues, the Bundy Ranch in southern Nevada, which is where I live, is in Nevada, although I live in the northern part of the states. And I'm specifically talking about Pete Santilli. And, you know, I went, when the whole Bundy Ranch thing went down in southern Nevada, I started questioning what was really going on. And you've had some run-ins with Pete Santilli. Who is this guy, really?
Well, I've made a short documentary with Suzanne Posel about it called The Unauthorized Biography of Pete Santilli. So people can go to YouTube and search that out, The Unauthorized Biography of Pete Santilli. But in a nutshell, he has a 30-year track record of screwing people over, stealing their money, assaulting people, and stalking people, and harassing people, and lying, and taking people's intellectual property. Just basically, let me just put it like this. I've been studying psychopaths and scumbaggery for 10 years, and I never seen anything like this.
Yeah, he, you know, in fact, I would encourage people to go watch that video, because it actually blew me away. Because, again, like I said, I've been watching what he was doing down here in Bundy, and it was with the whole Bundy Ranch thing. And it seemed like he was backed, and he was backed with huge amounts of money. And it didn't seem to me like he was actually doing what you and I are doing, which is trying to do something to help people realize what's going on in the world. He's more doing it for self-serving reasons.
That's because he's a psychopath. Psychopaths never do anything for anyone else. They'll say they're really good at faking like they do. I'm here for the Patriots. I'm here for the Constitution. Actually, no, you're not. You're there for yourself and only yourself. That's the thing about these people. It's the reason why they do really good in radio. They do really good in the entertainment industry. They do really well in politics, because they're much better at faking emotions than genuine people. Genuine people will feel guilty about things. Pete Santilli won't. Genuine people are able to be creative and things like that. Pete Santilli can't be, right? It's just the worst human that I've ever encountered in my life is Pete Santilli. And if you don't know that, if you're not scared of him, then you don't know him well enough. And that was the reason why we spent 3 years gathering information on him, and spent the better part of a week, three full days and four full nights working on that video to expose him. I actually had to cut a vacation short in order to come back to work in order to start working on this, because I saw that Burns, Oregon situation starting to, shall we say, I saw the potential for American patriots to lose their lives, right? Not because of Pete Santilli, right?
Right.
And so I felt an obligation, and so did Suzanne Posel, as the only ones who know more about Pete Santilli than anybody. We had an obligation to do that big exposure of him because of the fact that we felt that we might be able to save lives. And unfortunately, we were wrong, you know. Lavoie Finicum died. And we feel really guilty about that, like as if we should have exposed him sooner or done something sooner. It wasn't Santilli who pulled the trigger. It was Lavoie Finicum didn't make the brightest move by running from the cops and yelling out, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. And then he got shot. You know, I mean, it's natural selection in part. But the thing about it is, it was Santilli live streaming the freak freaking meetings where they were talking about game plans and things like that. He's live streaming that, and the FBI are watching it, and they used the recordings that he made in order to prosecute all the patriots that were there legitimately protesting. Okay? That's what he was there to do. We warned people. We warned people many times. Don't let this guy in. He's going to set you up. You're going to get arrested by the FBI. He's going to gather evidence on you. He's there working for the feds, bro. And, you know, exactly everything that we've said has come true. And yet, my prediction, my secondary prediction following Pete Santilli's arrest is that not only would he not be fingered as the guy who got all the info on everybody and be the one to blame, as well as his FBI connections explained, what I predicted is that this would make him a patriot alternative media martyr. And what will happen is his popularity will increase drastically, and he'll be touted around the fake alternative media as a savior, as a patriot, as a great news broadcaster, as a champion of free speech, etc., etc., so that he can garner more people into the fold, so he can get more patriots killed, so he can inform on more people in the truth movement than ever before. And as of a couple of days ago, articles to that effect have been coming out in the alternative media, and it just, it actually hurts me. Like, I can feel it, a pressure on my heart, because I can see and I know how many people are going to be hurt by this guy. He hurts everybody he has ever really been deeply involved with. I've never seen a single person who actually knows who Pete Santilli is that's got something positive to say about him. But because I'm not willing to lie, use tricky marketing techniques and things like that, I won't be able to grow as fast as Pete Santilli will, right? So I'll be the little voice out here telling the truth, and most people will follow Pete Santilli possibly until their own oblivion. And that really, really pisses me off.
Yeah, it pisses me off too, Vinny. I mean, certainly he seems to be, he's backed by the powers that shouldn't be. And I mean, that's what it just appears to me to be. He's actually playing a role. What blew me away was, obviously, they did the whole Bundy Ranch thing, and he was there, and he was trying to incite violence, telling people to go and get on the military bandwagon there and you know, break into their containers full of weapons and whatnot and spread them out to everybody. I mean, he was trying to incite violence, which really, really bothered me and which really raised some red flags for me. I started questioning the whole situation. And then he gets arrested a month or so previous to the whole Burns, Oregon incident on a weapons charge, which was a felony in that state. He was certainly breaking the law, and all the charges were completely dismissed. Even the sheriff's department was like, no comment. The media was like, how in the world did this guy get released to just and have the charges dismissed? It certainly seems like he's playing a role.
Well, he does change costume for each little thing that he goes to. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
So when he was down with the Bundys, when he started off in talk radio, he was wearing a suit, he had glasses on, and he was and that kind of thing. So he looked sort of professional because he was going up trying to get the Alex Jones crowd. And that's why he started off his radio career railing against Alex Jones, because the main way to cheat, essentially, to get yourself famous is to ruthlessly criticize somebody who's already actually worked for their own fame. All right. Without fear or favor, that's essentially one of the most effective methods of gaining popularity in the truth movement, is by attacking people who are already popular.
Hold on, we're coming up on a break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking with more about Pete Santilli and with Vinny Eastwood, who's got an interesting perspective on this whole thing. Like I said, I had to question everything. I think the whole red thing is a red flag. Some of it's probably all fiction. My opinion is still out there, and I just don't know. I question everything these days because everything is upside down and backwards, and 2 plus 2 seems to equal 5. The Awakening Liberty Show will be right back with my guest, Vinny Eastwood. All righty, then. We are back to the Awakening Liberty Show right here on truthfrequencyradio.com. Number to call in all across America, all around the world is 866-37-TRUTH. Again, that number is 866-378-7884. Again, I want to remind everybody to go to awakeninglibertyshow.com. Again, awakeninglibertyshow.com to see a full calendar of upcoming events and guests. You can check out my stack of truth there and a lot of my old archive shows as well, as I've been doing this for about a year. And I'm really honored to be speaking with Vinnie Eastwood from The Vinnie Eastwood Show. You know, he was an inspiration to me, and obviously I used to listen to him and think, you know, that'd be cool to do that. I never thought I'd have the opportunity, but here I am. Again, Vinnie, thank you so much for what you are doing. Because I really do appreciate and love your style and what you are, the way you're pushing out all the information and trying to get people to think for themselves, because that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I don't do it anybody else's way. I do it my way, and I'd rather inspire people than motivate them, because motivating them means I have to be there, keep continuously motivating them. Inspiration means you take an energy from somebody else, you make it your own, and you start producing that energy yourself. So you've, more than most, understand the purpose of my show, because you don't listen to it anymore, and you're doing your own show. That's actually one of the things that I encourage people to do. Stop listening to my show. Start doing your own thing, okay? And this goes for everybody else's radio show. This goes for everybody else's television show. This goes for every movie. This goes for every number of distractions. Once you find out what your purpose is, once you have an inkling that something's wrong, trust me, sitting there watching other people fight against it is not enough. You have to fight against it yourself. Now, there's a purpose to continue listening to my show, and that's simply because you want to have a few laughs and you want to learn about stuff that you don't already know. And for people who are working really hard in this industry, finding free time to have some fun and learn new stuff is actually quite difficult. There's a lot of editing that goes involved with doing the radio show. There's a lot of time that gets consumed by making YouTube videos. And I can completely understand, because, baby, do you know when the last time I listened to somebody else's radio show was? It was a long, long time ago. And the last time I was watching somebody else's YouTube videos, long, long time ago. Truth-related stuff by itself in that measure. The rest of the things I'm doing, I am trying to make music. I'm trying to write things. I'm trying to do scripts. I'm trying to help a charitable organization do a video to advertise their business that is freely looking out for people who've had false complaints laid against them by child kidnapping authorities, you know, stuff like that. And it just seems to me that we don't have accurate priorities anymore, because we don't know who we are. We don't know what our purpose is. And the bulk of people don't actually care. So if you start doing your own thing without pay, without encouragement, etc., that's great, because it shows that you're resisting the general flow of this river of shit that we call the media, and alternative media for that matter. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's dawned on me just January this year. I mean, I've been suspicious of it for about a year, that there's always a spectrum and a demarcation line between the truth and lies, and this especially is true in the alternative media. The alternative media is full to the brim with idiots, like people who don't fact-check anything, ever. People who share articles that they don't even read. People who get aggressive and stop listening to your show because you interviewed one person or said one thing that they disagreed with after listening to 100 of your shows that they loved and saying a million things that they did agree with.
Ah, he interviewed that person. He said they made that one statement which I'm going to blow out of proportion and never listen to him again.
Yeah, I interviewed Christopher Bolin last week, in fact, and somebody said that too. Oh, he's an anti-Semite and blah, 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 and I'm not going to listen to you. And it's like, you know what, dude, this is actually radio. You know, I don't agree with everything my guests say, but I got into this because I had to get active. I had to do something. I can't just stand by and watch all of my fellow brothers, humanity, just be murdered And, you know, you say something on your Skype ID that I think is great. It says, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point? And boy, you do have a point there, Vinny. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of, what did I do? I had a great Facebook status yesterday because I'm starting to feel a little bit kind of lately. I've had a whole bunch of stuff screw out on me. Technical issues have been plaguing me recently. I think in the last couple of weeks, my only pair of shoes have fallen apart. I got punched in the jaw. The computer I was using as a screen and speakers for my Mac Pro died. And the TV that I was using as a computer screen right after that also died. The lawnmower died right in the middle of mowing the lawn. I got a 4 terabyte hard drive that's malfunctioning on me. And this morning, my internet was out for a little bit as well. And it's like, whoa. There's a whole bunch of things just really screwing with me and making me not feel too good. And being in the truth movement really sucks sometimes, bro. Because sometimes you're scrolling down your Facebook feed and you're wanting to be cheered up, but all you find is videos of police brutality, reports of a mainstream media narrative being definitively debunked, mainstream news headlines with enraging and inaccurate titles with misleading content that everyone in the movement is pissed off about and furiously trying to debunk, mainstream news articles so riddled with inaccuracy that I nearly develop a rage-induced brain aneurysm, good alternative media headlines that I can't be bothered reading, bad alternative media headlines that are just so fucking insane that I audibly groan at the sight of them, memes about how stupid everyone is for not seeing the lies and blatant corruption, memes about how foolish everyone's choices are when better things are available, memes with important and interesting health and psychological discoveries, memes with quotes from old dead people that perfectly describe our current society, and memes with quotes from current MPs and business leaders where they admit they're part of a conspiracy. I mean, Jesus! Why can't I just see a fucking kitten video or a photo of someone's awesome lunch?
Yeah, I need to see a video of a cat, for God's sakes. Come on, give me a video of a kitty.
I mean, it's just the thing, man. We're like, we're starved for pointlessness, all right? It's like, God damn it. Why does everything I have to do be really meaningful and important? Why can't I just be nothing?
I posted a GIF the other day of a dog chasing a cat, and this cat goes across the lawn, and the dog is in just hot pursuit. The cat goes up the fence, launches about 4 feet in the air. Now, the thing about this video is somebody had added a laser blast like from Star Wars. So this dog is chasing this cat, shooting lasers at it. It goes up over the fence. It finally gets hit by one of these cartoon laser blasts and blows up on the other side of the fence, and people went ballistic. They're like, that is so cruel, that is so violent, that is so mean. It's like, where are your priorities, people? Get some humor, for God's sakes.
See, people have just lost their sense of humor, and I'm finding a lot of that lately. In fact, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing way too much Facebooking, bro. Did you know that Facebooking can actually make you go crazy?
It does me sometimes, Vinny. I absolutely go off just bonkers, especially when the trolls hit my page and it's all abusive content and they don't even want to look at anything. I've gotten to the point where I don't argue with anybody anymore.
Yeah, I only just approached that level of understanding last week. I was interviewing my friend Russell Malcolm about this, and I showed him my block list, all right, like my Facebook block list. You go to it, you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. It just keeps going for a long, long time. I've blocked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, and that's just my Facebook block list. You should see my YouTube block list, because, mate, if you want, if aliens ever came to Earth, right, and decided that they would try to study and find out what kind of quality human beings have, right, what kind of qualities we have, I just pray that they don't go to YouTube.com and start looking at the comment sections.
Oh my God, there is so much scum
that are just so incredibly insulting and retarded at the same time. They're retolting. It's just out of control. Every time I see one of these comments, I go, blah! You know, and then sometimes I got so many of these comments, it sounds like there's a chicken in my office.
It is. It's absolutely crazy. You know, I was riding down the road the other day with somebody, and he got mad at somebody because they couldn't merge. And he said, people just don't know how to merge. That's just what it is. People got to learn how to merge. I said, well, that's exactly why aliens won't land.
I saw this great Facebook meme the other day, and it's two aliens with their hands up going, you see, this is why we don't visit you guys.
Oh, man, Vinny. You know, you're bringing a smile to me, and you're actually bringing me a little bit out of my shell, because I have been a little down the last couple of weeks. I watched a thing on Facebook the other day about all of the veterans in my country. Obviously, there are so many of them. You know, 5,000 veterans are committing suicide. You know, this is every year, and they're actually all PTSD. They're all whacked out. They're not getting health care. And it just made me cry, because these psychopaths who are in charge, these Luciferian satanic wackos, seem to be getting pleasure with all these wars, and they're just brainwashing humanity, manipulating humanity. And everybody believes, Vinny, that this is the way it's supposed to be. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. These small group of people are just, oh, it's insanity, man.
It's the way things have always been, but I agree, it's not the way things are supposed to be. I think maybe, this reminds me, in fact, of the interview I had with the late Bob Chapman. I think it was in my first year in radio. I asked him about scumbaggery and corruption, and I asked him if there was any way that it could possibly structure a society to actually end corruption, like permanently, as in, boom, it's over, you don't have to worry about it. You go, no, it's a perennial problem. It's something that has always faced humanity. There have always been tyrants. There have always been psychopaths in control of civilization. And conceivably, there may always be. But there are periods of time, usually once every three generations, and we're overdue for one of these instances right now, where the third generation that has lived under an enslavement system will overthrow their enslavers and start the cycle all over again. Now, this is what we call a revolution, because the word revolution means to go in a fucking circle, which pisses me off, because I don't...
Come on! Come on, evolve!
Let's start over.
All right, so I am a dreamer, okay? But conveniently, I'm not the only one. But I was... I'm also really heavily into sci-fi, fantasy, you know, that kind of thing. Because I believe that through the allegories of a lot of things that are said in science fiction, we can discern a lot of very important lessons for where our society is going. For example, the other day I watched a film called Escape from Absalom. And in it, the opening title credits says, in the year 2022, all prisons globally have been privatized, and the imprisoning of human beings for profit has become big business.
No shit.
And I was like, dude, we're ahead of schedule, motherfucker. See, it's just this kind of thing. That's why I like sci-fi, because it actually gives you better news than the news does. And I also like John Oliver and John Stewart and all of that kind of stuff, because the comedians have indeed become the newsmen. Out of the simple fact that because the newsmen themselves have just become a joke, right? It's just, if you believe the mainstream media, you're... I hate to be negative to people, right? And I hate to judge people, and I hate to tell them how to live their lives better. But it's very difficult to stop yourself from doing that. Have you ever noticed? If you know better than someone, it's very difficult to just, you know, shut your mouth and just let them stumble and learn their own lessons. But... I think that the vast majority of people's ignorance and the anger, the aggression, etc., that they exude, and I'm talking about the non-psychopaths, like the normal people who are simply mentally traumatized, right, who've suffered personality damage because of their life, right? The New World Order set up a system so that if you're a psychopath, you will advance, you will become successful, you will become powerful, you'll end up in control, you'll become rich. If you are a good person, you're going to have to bust your ass for virtually nothing, and your life is going to be actually quite miserable. And if any of you get out of that mind control program that forces you inexorably to do those things to yourself via your schooling and education and just your work and everything like that, it all corrals you towards that mode of thinking. But if you manage to get out of that, then you suffer the ostracization technique of mind control programs. So your family, most of your friends, your employer and almost everybody you know will suddenly reject you. Now, and you'll find yourself alone simply because you've figured out that the whole world is a scam and they haven't figured it out yet. All right. Now, is it their fault that they haven't figured it out yet? Or is it just a matter of time? Now, I call this the seventh man syndrome. Right. Now, as a truther, you have this obligation to go and wake people up because you listen to it. Wake people up. Wake people up. You can't wake people up. You can't do it. You can't force somebody to sit down and watch 100 documentaries in 6 months like I did, right? Yeah. But if you talk to people just in your daily life, regardless of what broadcast medium you're through, is it face-to-face with one person? Is it over the radio to thousands? Is it over the television to millions? Doesn't matter. Just tell them the truth, right? If they can't handle it, stop telling them the truth, right? Yeah. Because then it's not actually going to get you anywhere. I call it the information grenade. You pull the pin, you chuck it in, and it'll blow up in their face later. Now, where the seventh man comes into this is a psychological study that was conducted that showed how people are actually willing to abandon their previously held beliefs. Now, one person comes up to you. You believe 9/11 was 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters who managed to infiltrate the most heavily defended airspace in the world, coordinated by a guy with a satellite phone and a laptop on kidney dialysis in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan. Okay, so that's what you believe.
Well, it makes total sense, man.
Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, 9/11 was an inside job. It was a self-inflicted wound, and there was a whole bunch of people who were directly involved with the setup of it that testified without taking an oath and without being recorded, etc., etc. And they go, "Screw up, you're a conspiracy theorist. I don't know." Second person comes up to him. Hey, do you know 9/11 is an inside job done by ruthless criminal scum using nanothermite to demolish that shit?
No, get away from me.
And then the third person comes up to me and goes, hey, did you know that you're actually supposed to scramble jets in order to take on any hijacked aircraft under US basic protocol for airline hijacking?
I don't screw up, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're saying things that are crazy.
Did you know that there's evidence of directed energy weapons that are using there with cars that have been only half of them burnt and the rest of them are completely perfect?
Oh, you're just insane! My God.
Yeah, but then the seventh guy comes around and he goes, you reckon 9/11 was an inside job? And you go, you know, I think it might be. I've never seen three buildings destroyed by two planes before. You know, and then bam, you got them. So,
I found the power of suggestion is the best way to get people to critically think. You know, I drive around with a bumper sticker on my truck that says 9/11 was an inside job. And I still see people in my rearview mirror shaking their heads. And it just cracks me up, Vinny. But you know what? You know, 1 out of 10 of those people, if they go and scratch their head and then just go look at WTC7. I mean, to me, that was a smoking gun. I mean, look at the situation. If I get one person to scratch their head, then we're doing our jobs.
Well, I disagree with the concept of jobs and everything because after my bad cases with employment, it's I'm not doing this out of choice. I'm doing this out of obligation because I don't actually have the ability to do job interviews anymore. No, I mean, seriously, I the last two that I tried, even one for working with my best friend doing door-to-door selling insulation, I had a panic attack, right? I actually am now physically incapable of employment. And that really, that's kind of like a handicap because in New Zealand, there's no actual support for people like me who've been traumatized in the workforce whereby just the concept of working, right, for somebody else, for money, makes you start to panic. Okay, I have to live with this condition. Now, it's really unfortunate because it means that I'll never be able to kind of like earn a proper living and that kind of thing. I can't handle complex paperwork, so I'll never be able to run a proper business or anything like that. But what I have managed to do is create a YouTube channel with more New Zealand protests and public meetings than the New Zealand archives have created. I have gained more YouTube subscribers than the largest media entity in New Zealand, the New Zealand Herald, has created. I have helped get more Kiwi activists on air in America than anybody in history. I am the first New Zealander to have an American-based talk radio show. I have helped people, I've prevented people from committing suicide. I've helped many people regain their sanity. I've helped people retain their faith in humanity. I've helped inspire others to enter into the truth movement. I've exposed ruthless criminals, sociopathic scum, and have warned people and kept innocent people out of their path via my blood, sweat, and tears, and indeed sacrifice. Now, that's what I did because I was unable to get a job. Now, when I go out to a protest, and when I was walking back from the TPPA protest that we did, it was the largest TPPA protest, in fact, the largest protest of any kind that I've ever seen, right? After 10 years, that's quite a bit. And this guy, when I was walking home, he said, "Why don't you go get a job?"
Well, Vinny, I got to say, you are working for the best interest of humanity, and that is certainly admirable. You know, I want to digress just a second because you were talking about your YouTube channel, and we were talking about Pete Santilli earlier. He was responsible for your YouTube channel getting basically hijacked. Is that not the case?
Taken down temporarily. There was this one time when he was working for American Freedom Radio that he interviewed Jim Fetzer and interviewed him really badly. And it was the worst interview that I've ever seen. He was just abusive to him and that kind of thing. And then the very next day, he went on Kevin Barrett's show and then Santilli rang in and abused them on air. So he got fired, right? And me, we'd had a conversation with him about my concept of the business Guerrilla Media to start up an independent media thing, and he just basically stole it. He registered GuerrillaMediaNetwork.com for himself, and then he became involved with the Truckers Ride for the Constitution, and he stole their Facebook page, which had 200,000 likes, and renamed it Guerrilla Media, right?
And $50,000, right?
Allegedly up to $50,000. I've spoken to some people on the inside. They said it was maybe closer to $42,700, but close enough as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't really matter how much he stole. The point is he freaking stole it, right? And he wins it. And the thing is, he took my YouTube channel down by laying false complaints against it, right? Because I made a whole bunch of videos exposing his ass, and he didn't like that. So he filed false YouTube complaints, and my channel with 3,500 videos and 24,000 subscribers was taken down just like that, right? And we had a little interesting thing happen because YouTube gave me a warning. They said, "Okay, you got 7 days before we're taking your channel down." And I was like, "Okay." Well, I took a screenshot of that and then posted it on Facebook. And then within 24 hours, my YouTube channel got taken down. And it wasn't until 2 weeks after the fact that I found out why. Because I went back. Pete Santilli must have seen that warning. "If you receive any more complaints, we will terminate your channel instantly." He must have seen that screenshot of that warning through one of his mutual contacts or something that's keeping spy on my Facebook page or something for him. He filed 7 false complaints on that day. All right, on top of the 2 false complaints that he'd already filed, which put me off. So, yeah, how my life's work was destroyed or got sucked into a YouTube loophole. If you search Vinny Eastwood YouTube loophole, there's a video that actually highlights the fragility of YouTube, because the power is in the people who flag the videos, not the people who actually work for a living making those videos. There's no way to get your channel back just instantly, but there is plenty of ways to get your channel destroyed instantly. Does that seem fair?
Listen, Vinny, we're running out of time, and it was an honor to have you on the show. You made me laugh, and I much needed that. Real quick, tell everybody where they can listen to your show and your websites and all that good stuff.
Well, if you go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, that's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. You can have a look at my shows and archives and things like that I've been doing since 2010. My YouTube channel, if you just search Vinny Eastwood, you should find it, or it's youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood, I think. I'll just double check that one for you. I think it's Mr. News Guerrilla Media at, otherwise. And I think that that's about it. I mean, you can check me out on Facebook. Just Google Vinny Eastwood, and it shouldn't be that hard to find me, really.
Yeah, just go to Facebook and actually go Vinny Eastwood Groups, man, and then he's got his own page as well. Vinny, again, it was great to have you on the show. You were an inspiration to me, and keep doing what you're doing, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Cheers, brother. Have a lovely night.
You too.